Hi, you're listening to the Robert Sarsavuduman radio show, and we're back with Mr. Robin McCauley. And I'm so glad that you're back out on tour with Michael Schenker. No,
well, Monday he released the North American tour dates. So March and April, we will take on, I think about, I think it's about 20 U.S. tour dates. So that's going to be really exciting. Prior to that, like about a week and a half, on July 15th, we'll actually play the Headbangers Festival in Germany.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
I think we're headlining that. Followed by a week later, we will play France. And then the middle of October, we will headline Loud Park in Japan.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing.
Yeah, which is, I mean, so that's how far it's come in that whole that whole period. After Loud Park, we will do. I think we spend about a week in Spain. We go into the Netherlands, and then we go into the UK. And then back here for Christmas.
That's perfect. How's your Spanish?
Muchas gracias.
¿Dónde está el baño? You got to know that one.
Oh, man. Mi no speako.
Tengo hambre. ¿Dónde está el baño? And tengo hambre. You got to know that one.
I can ask you for some huevos rancheros.
There you go. You got it covered.
I got it covered, dude.
I don't know if it's Spain.
And coffee's coffee. Coffee's coffee, right?
Café. Now, you know, you have a lovely family. I have, you know, been to
your house.
I have met your whole family. Now, I believe that Casey is also a musician, your son.
Casey absolutely loves to play. I mean, he loves to play. What he needs, I believe, is a band. He's having a really tough time. They just graduated, my boys.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
He has a lot of ideas. He practices like an absolute demon. You know, he doesn't need any encouragement on that level, which is really terrific to see. And I'm doing everything I can to try and find a bunch of guys who are at the same level or better than he is, so that he can move into the next stage.
Is that a hard thing to do nowadays? Because I know it was different back when I was growing up. Everybody in my block in Miami played guitar.
Yeah, it's not like that. He knows a lot of kids who play, but they're more into, and there's nothing wrong with it, but they're into, he said, more of a poppy vein.
Mm-hmm.
And he's he loves the classic rock. You know, I don't encourage it. He listens to what he wants to listen to. And he listens to quite a selection, quite a broad selection of stuff.
Is he singing also? Does he sing?
He has a really, really high voice. And he's up, you know, I hear him when he's practicing and I'm going, damn, listen to that, you know? Mm. So he wants to, he wants to take it to the next stage. He wants to obviously perform with kids, but he wants to go to MI. Mm-hmm. He wants to engineer. He's going to do voice. He's going to do the whole deal. He wants it all.
Well, I think
he reads. He reads. You know, he can write charts because he played saxophone from the ages of 10 or 11 till he was about 14. And he was in school band, and then he played with a local music school here. He played the Roxy a bunch of times. He played the Whiskey. Mm. He's played the Canyon Club a bunch of times, and he's great. I help him as much as I can,
and I'm sure you do. Let me ask you something. What's his main instrument then, besides vocals?
Guitar.
Okay, so do you?
Yeah.
Don't you feel that if he's self-contained, he has a better chance in surviving in the music world nowadays?
Well, I think that's why he sees that if he knuckles down and heads off to MI and gets all that wrapped up, mm-hmm. and does his voice and does his music theory. You know, I used to joke with him when he was playing saxophone, and I said, you know, you need to be able to read, because if you can read, there's a great possibility that you'll get the session. And I said, people love you to come in, read the charts, you get paid, and you move on to the next session. Mm-hmm. I said, the guy that can't read is probably not likely to get the session as fast as you're going to get it, because it's a longer process. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it was, but that seemed to have struck a note, no pun intended. And so he learned to read. And now with guitar, he can write charts, mm-hmm. and he's got it. He gets the whole idea behind it, and to be self-contained, you know. I mean, there's a lot to be said for it, but I think there's you know how it is when you can bounce off somebody else's ideas and it moves around, mm-hmm. and I think you know, he's still young. He's 18. He knows he has a lot of work to do, but he's not afraid of it. You know, and, you know, if he starts to dig in at MI, and for sure he'll meet people, mm-hmm. at his level and above. And I think it will take its course to move into whatever level feels comfortable with, you know.
And I think that's a great advice, is to get the education. The more you know, the more valuable you are. The more you're worth, the more you can work. And nowadays, I have noticed that it's different than back in the, let's say, late 60s and 70s, that it was about bands, how to put a band together. And that was the focus in my head as a child in my teenage years. Like, well, how do you put a band together? How do I figure that out? And writing and writing and writing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Nowadays, it's more about being self-contained. What I mean by that is singing and playing. So you can accompany yourself. So you can go and you go, hey, I'm also a singer. Hey, by the way, I can read your charts and I can rearrange your music. Why don't we do this? And luckily, when I was in high school, I was thrown into the jazz band, and it was an orchestra. And I had a little bit of that. I think it was about a year that I had to perform with an orchestra, with, you know, the whole strings, everything that was available. And I learned at least about the orchestration, and you got to lay back. It's not about me. It's not about, you know, and I think he's definitely going to get that education over there. And also, like you're saying, meet other players his age, same interests, same caliber. I think that's a fantastic experience he's going to have.
Yeah, and it's encouraging because what he's also, which is, it's amazing, is he's totally into cars. He drives us crazy, you know, by telling us all about all the different parts and mechanics, and I need to lower my car and I need to do this with it. And then he'll switch gears, no pun intended, again, quickly. And then he'll come home, or he'll you know, he also has a little part-time job at instrumental music in Thousand Oaks. So he's in the right environment. He loves being in there, you know.
He's got the fever.
And he'll shoot me a photo. He goes, Dad, this guitar came in today, and I don't really need another. I mean, he has a Schenker Signature Flying V.
Oh, nice.
And he's got a couple of Deans that he absolutely loves. And now he just got himself this really cool, he's got the Les Paul Epiphone. And it came into the shop with it was all modified, mm-hmm. with great pickups in it, and what are they? The PF. What did he tell me? Yes, but it came up anyway. It's like a regular Les Paul, uh-huh. and it looks great on him. And he goes, Dad, it plays great. What do you think? And I went, do you need another guitar?
Yes.
he came home with the guitar. So. Here's the great thing. He works, mm-hmm. he makes a little cash, and he buys guitars.
That's great. It's discipline. Now, are you thinking of ever maybe bringing him?
I mean, really?
Bring him on
that's
tour.
That's what he does.
You should bring him on tour. Bring him in the tour bus with you so he can really get the experience.
Yeah. You know, and he's always saying, Dad, when you rehearse, can I come? You know, can I do this? And you know, if we're learning new songs, you know, I have a little thing on the side that we haven't done a great deal with, this Brigade thing with Howard Leese and Jason Boylston and Matt Starr. And he'll hear what we're playing, and then he'll start learning it, just so. And he just loves it. It's quite natural for him. And you know, sometimes you have to push your kids into any which way direction, but he just takes it and runs with it. By contrast, my other son, Jamie, I haven't seen him in almost 4 weeks now, because as soon as he graduated a few days later, he headed off to this place called Woodward West, which is a skateboard camp. And he's been a counselor. Also getting paid.
Wow.
And teaching, and you know, skateboarding is his absolute passion. He just absolutely loves it. He has somewhat of an endorsement with one of the skateboard companies. And he absolutely loves it. He's not big on the competition. He just wants to be involved.
Involved.
You know, and I mean, he gets a lot of injuries. And he shrugs it off. You know, he hits the concrete, and I'm going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, he's had so many visits to the ER here. Oh, and almost like we have permanent residency, you know. And, you know, I pray that he's not going to get a really bad injury, because, you know, as he gets older. Mm-hmm. And my boys are like 6'2", so they're very tall boys. Yeah. But he loves what he does, and he wants to – he wants to go a different direction. He's totally into environmental science. That's his. He's an outdoors kind of kid, and that's, it'll either be environmental engineering or environmental science, and that's where he wants to go. He's also talking about potentially meteorology. So that's where he's headed.
Wow. Yeah.
He did not get that from me.
He loves the outdoors.
Uh-huh. Gina would always say, oh my God, he'll be a park ranger or something. And I said, park rangers are pretty smart people.
You have to be. Yeah. And that's it sounds like a really cool gig also. Let me see. You were born in Ireland, or were you born?
Yes, born and raised in a place called Tara, which is famous for Saint Patrick, our patron saint.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the story is, in the year 432, Saint Patrick brought Christianity to Ireland, drove out the pagans, drove out the snakes, but. There are no snakes in Ireland. I think it was a metaphor. and the you know, the shamrock, which is our symbol, just so you know, is also the trilogy. And that's, you know, the religious story behind it is that while trying to bring Christianity to what really was a pagan country, how do they understand the Trinity? So he picked up a shamrock, you know, three leaves on one stem, and that became our symbol, and he became our patron saint, and the rest, as they say, is at the bottom of a pint of Guinness.
Now, how old were you when you came to the United States?
Oh my God, I've been here. I've been in the States since 1988. Almost 30 years, almost. I'm a U.S. citizen, very proud U.S. citizen. Been a citizen for many years. I little short story. I went to visit one of my sisters in London when I was 20. And when I came out of school, I went to technical college, and you know, growing up, you were always told, if you have a trade, you'll be set for life. That was the story. That was always the story in everybody's neighborhood. Go get a trade and be set for life. You'll always have a job. You'll never be out of work if you have a trade. Well, I became a cabinet maker. And I used to make period furniture, Queen Anne, Chippendale, Regency, all of that sort of stuff. One of my uncles. had a furniture shop, and he was a wood turner, everything by hand, you know, the lathes, all that sort of stuff. And I started off being a chair maker, and I loved it. I love working with my hands. Anyway, long story endless, I visited one of my sisters in London and stayed for about 16 years.
Ooh, wow.
Not always in her house. Not always in her house.
Yeah.
And while in London, I did a lot of local gigs, all the pub gigs. That's kind of where I did my apprenticeship. And I played drums when I was in Ireland. I played drums for about 12 years. I wanted to be a great drummer. I sucked. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, you should sing. And I went, no, I don't want to sing. And I still don't regard myself as a singer.
Robin, a lot of great vocalists, as yourself, were drummers.
Yeah, I don't know, but I never wanted to sing.
Were you
shy? I wish I'd been a great bass player, a guitar player, a drummer, because you know, the singer gets it in the neck when he can't perform or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. It's like you always have to be on your game. I mean, that's okay, you know. Mm-hmm. I take care of myself, but there's always that pressure walking out every night, you know, all of that sort of stuff, different elements. Mm. And none of the rest of the musicians, all due respect, seem to have to put up with that. You can have a cold, you can have too many beers the night before, you can still walk out there, you don't have to worry about your voice being, mm-hmm. you know, at its peak.
That is true. The voice really shows
yeah.
what you're feeling.
Yeah,
if you have a cold or tired.
So I was in London, and I was in London for a very short period of time, and I was I had an offer to join a band. That band got signed to RCA Records and then later Chrysalis Records. That band was called Grand Prix. And while we were on Chrysalis Records, Michael Schenker was also on Chrysalis Records.
Mm.
And we had a single at radio doing really well, and Michael and Cozy Powell, God rest his soul, Chris Glenn, who actually is in this lineup with MSG right now, and Andy Nye, who played keyboards, also played keys on George Michael's Faith album. They came to see a Grand Prix show, and the very next day I had an offer to join Michael Schenker and replace Gary Barnes. Mm. And I refused, and I got some really nasty press as a result of it, because the press headlines were like, who does this young Irish upstart think he is refusing to join Michael Schenker? And that's true. That is true.
Well,
anyway,
sure.
It was like 4 years later, mm-hmm. and I was now working in Frankfurt recording some tracks. One of those tracks was a remake of Stairway to Heaven with Bobby Kimball.
Mm-hmm.
And the studio project was called Far Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And that sold about 2 million singles in England alone. And it charted, and I think we hit number 5 or number 8 in the British top 10
mm-hmm.
as a Zeppelin cover. People went, this will never work. You couldn't get it off the radio. It was incredible, the success of the single. Never played live, but we did a huge amount of TV and a huge amount of radio. In fact, the very first TV show we did was to a viewing audience of over 80 million people.
Wow!
It was the Thomas Gottschalk show mm-hmm. in Berlin,
mm-hmm.
and when we did that, Robert Plant was out with his solo band. And he was on the same show, the same night as we were, and we didn't know because we didn't see the list.
Mm-hmm.
So we were up doing a line check and getting our camera positions for the show that night. And Robert was out with his band doing the same thing, and we had this huge black and silver backdrop with Stairway to Heaven on it. And the guitar player, the guitar player said, Robert Plant is staring right into the back of your neck. And I'm going, no, he isn't. And I turn around, and Robert Plant is like pointing his finger at me. And then he would point at the backdrop going, "What's that, mate? What's that right there?" And I went, "Don't look at me. It's the producer's fault." So this is true. Up. So we have a bunch of great photos together with Robert. And then the English press did all of this stuff on me for a long time to see which of us had the best mullet. And that's true. I have those paper clippings to this day.
Oh, and brilliant.
And so that went really well. We made a bunch of records with Far Corporation. We did a ton of TV shows. And when Stairway to Heaven was loud and clear on the radio waves, Rudolph Schenker heard it. And he was curious as to who was singing it. And the management company, they tracked me down. And I was back in England doing some promo work for Far Corporation. And I was invited, now it's 4 years later, to audition for Michael Schenker. And of course I went, "Hey, we already passed on this one, you know?" Mm-hmm. And I'm still not interested. And I said, "Look, we know you work out of Germany. It's really no stretch. Why don't you just come in and try out a few songs and then we'll finally put it to rest." I was actually the last of 17 vocalists.
Wow.
And so you can actually blame Rudolf Schenker, Klaus Meine, the Rock Sound Management Company, and Michael Schenker himself for actually choosing me.
Wow.
Yes, yeah, and that's how that came to pass. And that was in 1985. Oh, my God. I was so young then.
Hey, you're still young. What are you talking about? So how can I have your fans find you? What, you have a website?
I have a website, robinmccauley.com. Very easy. You can find me on Facebook very easily.
Okay.
Twitter, Instagram, all under my name.
And you're going to have all your activities, all your tour dates, what you're doing?
Yeah, the tour dates have been posted. We will start, I believe, on the East Coast, we will start the U.S., the North American tour. We will start in New York at I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Irving Plaza, I think, is the first show. Mm. We'll actually play the House of Blues in Vegas. We'll also play the Grove in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those kind of shows, House of Blues / theaters, that kind of stuff.
Great venues, great sound. Yeah.
Yeah, great places.
Are you coming back to Los Angeles? I want to see you.
I don't see – the only thing I see for the – L.A. O.C. Area is the Grove.
Oh,
at this point,
yeah,
the Grove.
That's not far. Not far.
No, it's not
Hollywood.
Far.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't give you the exact date right now, or can I? But you can find all of this posted as of yesterday. Posted on Facebook. Michael himself posted all of this stuff. He signed to a new label, Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
He's very excited. And this is going to be great because also on this North American tour will be an addition of one other singer, Dougie White, which did his Temple of Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So Dougie will actually be joining us. So now you'll have four singers. We're also actually, as we speak, working on new material for a new Michael Schenker Fest record.
Wonderful.
Which he's hoping will be ready for like the spring, about the same time as we will get ready for tour dates. That's the idea.
Well, that sounds really exciting. Robin, it's been a true pleasure having you here at my
Thank
show.
You. I talk too much, but it's been a pleasure.
No. This is it's all great history, and you still sound great. You look great. You know,
thanks, Robert. If you guys are in Vegas, come and see us at the Hard Rock.
Oh, I think I should do that. I need to get away.
Yes, we all need to get away.
Definitely. Robin.
All right, you guys.
Robin McCauley, keep rocking, brother. And
thank you, guys.
Love you, and just go for it. Keep doing it.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. You know that.
All right, brother. Bye.
Bye, Robert. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Robert Sarsavuto Man Radio Show with Robin McCauley. Just want to thank you all for listening. Stay tuned to next week.